Blog Talk Radio.
Describe Cole Hansberry?
The first thing that comes to mind is crazy. Crazy, wild, in your face, very raw, uninhibited personality that just is unforgettable. I mean, when he says stuff out his mouth, sometimes you drop your jaw, but at the same time, you gotta love him.
Cole Hansberry is truly one of a kind. He has a sense of humor that is uniquely his. He is extremely creative, and he definitely goes for what he wants.
Cole is the life of the party. A good word for Cole would be mad science.
Man, that Cole Hansberry, you'd be all day trying to explain his situation. I don't know, really, such a goddamn diva. That's about the only thing I can say about that. But we love him.
Cole, you can stop asking if you could tighten up my beard too, man. I'm not down with the swirl.
Intelligent, thought-provoking, entertaining, and just a tad bit risque. Definitely one of my favorite people to listen to.
Acting, you got singers. Yeah, you do your thing, man.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're tuned in to the Cole Hansberry Show. And now, here's your host, Cole Hansberry.
With my special guest, William Hubbard, and today we're going to be discussing and concluding the discussion of one of the greatest gospel songs ever written, I Love You, Lord, Today. And so, like I said, last week we talked with William about the song and stuff, and then we're going to get back with him, and we are going to talk about Rester, I Love You, Lord, Today. So I got William on the line with me. William, you're on the air.
Hey, Cole.
Hey, thanks for joining me back today.
Thanks for having me.
You know, your show is the best show that I've ever done so far. We had people calling in from the Philippines that listened to last week's show, and the numbers are the best numbers that I've had so far on the show. And so, again, I'm so grateful that this is happening with you, one of my best friends.
Amen. I love you.
Love you, too. And so let's just get right back into it. Last week we left off with the workshop with the Edwin Hawkins Seminar Workshop.
That's correct.
And so the next question that I wanted to ask you based off of where we ended, a lot of times people assume because the song is so popular that you got paid forever and ever and ever, amen. But as we discussed personally before, that's not the case. So can you give us a little background into how the business broke down?
Well, my business didn't break down. I did exactly everything that I was supposed to do. It was It's copyrighted. I had got publishing, and had representation. Had folk look at the contract and everything, and whatnot. Everything was in place. In fact, this mega super producer who wanted to use the song, pretty soon, called and asked about it, and he said to me, "Well, William, you know, it's been rumored that you didn't handle your business, you just didn't have your stuff together." I said, "That's absolutely untrue. I dotted every T and I dotted every I,
right?
And crossed every T. I was doing a whole bunch, huh?"
Right.
But you know, people, if they want to mess you up, they can mess you up. It's just that way. The legal system is not built on truth. It's about what can how you can get around different things. For one thing, the record company filed Chapter 11 right after it was released, so they didn't have to pay out the publishing. And when I went to the tracking agencies, they kept saying that they were looking into it, and I even at some point back then I couldn't afford a lawyer, but at some point I did have someone that looked into it for me, and they were saying, well, we really don't think that there's enough money to go after for it. So a lot of that came to naught, and plus I kept trying to get it investigated, and kept coming to dead ends. So the record company, like I said, they didn't have to pay out the publishing, and people think that in fact most people didn't even hear the original song.
Right.
You played it last week, you know, but how God put the song out was through the people that were at the seminar. They took it back to their churches, and it spread from there. How it went worldwide, I have no idea. That all of that was God's doing. Yeah, I couldn't have promoted. It wasn't. And if you really think about it, there wasn't a lot of airplay either.
Yeah.
The song went viral by grassroots level, churches and choirs and praise teams just singing it. That's all, you know. So I had nothing to do with it. So
what did they have, sheet music to take it back, or did they just do it off of memory? Go ahead.
Well, given the permutations of the song, I would say memory.
Wow.
Because there are a lot of different versions. But you know, we do that anyway. We make versions. Oh, I like this chord better, and I'm going to do this, and blah, blah, you know. And that's creative, and I love all that, you know. It's just how our tradition, especially in the Black church, has been of an oral tradition, so things are passed down orally, you know. So I mean that's what it is.
Now, I do want to give callers a chance to call in to ask you questions. So I just want to give out the number before I go into my next question. So if you're listening to the show and you want to call in, the number is 323-870-3384. Again, the number is 323-870-3384. You can call in with your questions for William. I have somebody special on the line, though, William, before I go into my next question that I want to bring in and see if he have you a question or a comment that he wants to say to you. Identify yourself, sir.
Okay.
I am Kevin Edward Taylor, pastor of Unity Fellowship Church, New Ark, former member of the Voices of Praise.
You know
hey,
who that is,
Pastor Taylor?
Hey, what's going on, William Hubbard?
I ain't making no noise except a joyful one.
There you go.
Before Kevin makes his comment or question, just give a little background. This is a producer. Used to work for BET. You can go down the rest of your resume if you want to. He's a minister and is somebody that I've come to know as a friend and also as a friend of William.
Absolutely to both. And before this voice preached and felt strong and confident at it, it sat in a choir directed by that gentleman. And William Hubbard, I want to thank you,
man,
just because working with you helped me solidify, you know, clarify, magnify who God, you know, called me to be. And just when I have those moments when a preach moment needs a song and I go into that old space of not thinking that who I am is rich enough and full enough and good enough to open my mouth to sing. I hear you right beside me, pushing me in ways that people don't think people like me need pushing sometimes. You know, they think it's all well the time, but you know, you are a mentor to my soul and a brother to the person I have found myself growing day by day to be. And I'm just grateful to you and for you. While I was on hold, I was thinking, I love you, I love you, I love you, Lord, today. And I was like, yeah, that's, I can sing. Okay. And that's only, and it is only because with you, your voice in me, that all of the other stuff moves out. God before.
Oh, wow. Wow. Praise God. Thank you, Kevin. I'm humbled and honored because I feel the very same about you. I was so inspired by your personage and what God has in you. So we couldn't possibly negate the Spirit of God in you and not push you forward and not say keep going.
No, thank you so much, Kevin.
Cole, you know you're crazy, right? I love you to pieces and all your heart, and I love you for opening up this venue for the world to know about the genius of William Hubbard. Just because,
hey, you know, I'm gonna have to have you on too, Kevin.
Anytime.
Yeah, we're gonna have to get you on at some point. And I still got that. You'll have your gift before Christmas, okay?
Bless you. And again, you have not because you asked not. You asked him, so you have. Just tell me when.
Thank you so much, Kevin, for calling. I appreciate you.
All right. I love you. You can just take me off of mute, but I'm going to keep listening. So bye.
Okay. Have a good one.
Bye.
All right. Love you.
All right. So, William, I'm going to take a question from online. Another friend of ours, Roz White, sent in a question. She said, what do you think about competitions like Sunday Best? Or do you even watch it and why?
Well, I don't watch it, first of all, just because I don't have cable.
Okay.
But the issue sometimes that I have with it is that the competition part seems antithesis of what the gospel is and is about, and it's hard to measure because sometimes it seems like it's about measuring the anointing of someone or you know, this one is anointed and that one, you know, you sing with such power, such anointing. I don't know how we measure that. I don't know.
Right.
You know, it just doesn't. It's not a good fit for me for competition and the gospel. Because there's too much competition in church,
right?
Concerning choirs and singers and whatnot. What? What are we doing all that for?
So your anointing is based on how many runs you can do, or who can shout.
Uh-huh.
Who
right,
can
and,
shout
and
the
who's
best?
Shouting? Look, the Lord gave me one day. He told me that it was none of my business, and to not look for the good response or even the bad response.
Right.
It was essentially, he was saying, it's none of my business. It's him that is doing the work, and he will deposit in whoever he wants to, what he wants to, and when he wants to. So all we are supposed to do, all he wanted from us, is to make ourselves available, show up, and be prepared to be used,
yeah.
And not look at what's going on, and just go ahead and do what he's giving you in your heart. That's it.
Right. Now, we still take the calls, callers. If you want to call in, the number is 323-870-3384. Again, the number is 323-870-3384. Now, William, I wanted to ask you this. Do you ever get angry that the song has become so popular, but you really haven't seen any financial benefit from it?
No, I had to let that go a long time ago. I let that go because first of all, I didn't work for the song that the Lord gave it to me. I didn't work for it, and how it got out and went about, you know, I ain't got nothing to do with any of that.
Mm-hmm.
So on the part of doing my business, I did my business. Yes, I did my business. But even though that didn't work out, I let it go because it's the Lord's work and it's His, and He will let me have what it is that He wants me to have. What God has for me, it mm-hmm. is for me. And yeah. I've been blessed. It's amazing having this stroke and everything and all that I've gone through just in the last few years. It's amazing to see, I don't mean to sound sappy, but I'll use the words of the song, because He cares for me in such a special way. He's doing that right now. He's taking care of me. People think that I spend a lot of money on clothes and whatnot and a whole bunch. No, God is. Look, God just made a keyboard, a professional Triton Pro keyboard, available to me for absolutely not one penny.
Right.
And all sorts of things that God is doing that I'm being paid in a different way, and so I don't have to trip over the fact that I didn't get that kind of money. And who's to say that it was going to be that? So I'm grateful. I'm grateful for what I have. I'm grateful, and I will receive whatever He gives me, you know. And I'm grateful. Well, I'm grateful to be alive.
Right now, taking donations. We called the first thing. Right. What you call? Kevin talked about mentorship and stuff. Tell us about your musical mentors, especially the one that we shared in common, Mr. Wesley Boyd.
Oh, my God. Wesley Boyd literally took me under his wing. I was very shy, insecure, and I didn't think very much of myself at all. And one day, Wesley Boyd brought in Alexandria, Virginia, to our choir's anniversary. And in walked Wesley, and right behind him was Richard Smallwood, and right behind him was Edwin Hawkins. I went, what?
Oh my God. Wow.
Right. It was our choir anniversary, and I had written all the music for that day. And I'll never forget it. I was like starstruck. And Edwin came over to me and said, "You wrote all that music for this anniversary?" I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Oh my God, that's great." And Richard his wing, and I've learned so much from Richard. In fact, before I met him, how I learned to play and how I learned music theory was by ear, mostly through Richard's music. Wow. By the time I got to college, all the technical things that they were telling me, I was already familiar with because of learning Richard's music. I already had it in my ear, and I knew what it was. While people were struggling to try to figure out, I said, "Oh no, that's just 5 of 5 and 5 of 4 here and blah blah blah," you know. Mm-hmm. So the main thing that Richard and Wesley and Sandy Fagans taught us all was that what was the most important part of what we were doing was ministry first. Richard emphasized it over and over. The ministry is the most important part of our being out there singing when we're singing the gospel, being exactly. prepared for ministry. Wesley, that was just, there was nothing else. Baby, the workshop choir, if your attitude was strange and we were about to walk in, Sandy would come over and tap you on the shoulder. Thank you, darling. We won't be needing you to sing today because unless you can get that together.
Right.
You can go have a seat in the audience, okay? They were not playing about the
right.
ministry part because
right.
I remember Richard talking about one time the Smallwood Singers singing somewhere and someone was going to had decided they were going to commit suicide. They were going to commit suicide after they left the concert, but through the ministry of the Smallwood Singers that day, they decided not to commit suicide.
Oh my God.
We never know what God is doing. That's why it's none of our business. We are only supposed to show up and make ourselves available for the use of the Holy Spirit and what He wants to do in a room. We have to quit just coming in thinking that it's about us getting our shout on and get. Why is all this? Why do we have all this power? What is
mm-hmm.
it for? Shouldn't it be for the Holy Spirit to direct the power to someone's healing, to someone's
right.
emotional state, to someone receiving the Lord? You know, we got to get out of all this other stuff, you know, and get our attitudes right and come
right.
first ministry. That's what they taught me.
Okay, now let's reverse that question that I just asked. Can you talk about
mm-hmm.
some of the people who you've mentored? I mean, you have to talk about me. Of course, you've mentored me, but like some of the other people, you know, that are my peers and, you know, folks that you've mentored. Can you talk a little bit about that?
I don't know that I've thought of it like that. In terms of actually mentoring people, I just there are times when I know that this is what we need to talk about. This is what we need to. Hey, can I point this out to you? And or it just comes up in my spirit and let's talk about this and let's do this. Hey, you know, if there are career choices and career decisions. You know, I try to be prayerful and thoughtful in how I talk to people, period.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it is consciously mentoring or not, I hope that my life, period, in front of people is mentoring. And
well,
not just, you know, some. Go ahead.
I was gonna say, let me just say this, and I hope you don't mind. Our friendship actually got solidified in a nightclub here in D.C.
That's correct.
You know, William Wesley used to tell us not to be seen in clubs and that sort of thing. But you've always had a real way, like real time way of ministry, and you know that's you know, as one of your mentees, that's the thing that I can say about your mentorship towards me. You know, you just always have mentored, your ministry has always been in, you know, a real-time sort of way. I have one more question for you, and we probably after that will be shortly getting out of here. Who are your musical influences? I know people will be surprised that it's not just, you know, gospel. Who are some of your musical influences?
Oh, my God. I can't. Oh, that's. How many artists are there out there?
Right.
I mean, there's so many people that I grew up listening to Chaka Khan, Larry Graham. Oh, my God. Don't put no Larry Graham on. And Graham Central Station, you know, that kind of stuff. Earth, Wind, and Fire, of course, Stevie Wonder, Aretha Franklin, James Cleveland, you know, the O'Neill Twins. I mean, it's just all over the place. Donnie McKirkland and Bishop Walter Hawkins, whom I absolutely adored and loved. And just everybody. That's why it makes absolutely no sense to me when I saw your advertisement about this, and it said gospel artist, and I was thinking, well, yeah, I guess I am. That's my home. That's I am a gospel artist, I suppose, but not really. I love all types of music, and I play all types of music. I write all types of music. I do it for theater. So in theater, I use funk, jazz. I do everything. I'll do some African in a minute.
All right,
whatever it's called for.
I got so excited on that point. I know, like recently, I went to go see a play that you did all music for, Three Sisters, and as I was listening to the music, you had to go through some time periods, and the music was so authentic to each time period that you were writing for, and I asked you, did you have to do any research? And Roz was standing right there. She said, no, he lived there. He lived in it.
That's right. It's true. It's true. All the different styles were just like memories.
Hey, William, it looks like we have time for one more caller here. Let's see who this is on the line.
Okay,
caller.
Hi,
what's your name? Where are you calling
Wanda.
From? Wanda.
This is Wanda, and I'm calling from the DMV area.
What's your question? We got about a minute left.
Well, it really isn't a question. I just called. Cole is a very good friend of mine, and when he told me that you were going to be on the show, I had to call in just to let you know that I really love the song. I mean, I grew up on the song, and I can't go anywhere and not hear it from either young or, you know, or seasoned people. I mean, it's a great song, and any time, even in my church, whenever I want to change the atmosphere, I can just pull that song out and just things just begin to happen. And so I just want to call just to let you know that I appreciate you for allowing God to use you to write this wonderful song.
Thank you so much, Wanda,
praise
for
God.
Calling
praise
in.
Thank you,
Wanda. Get ready. Yeah, we're going to get ready to wrap this thing up.
Thank you so much, William, for taking your time 2 weeks in a row to so we can get into this song. And ladies and gentlemen, join us back here for another edition of the Cole Hansberry Show next week and get the biscuits while they're hot.
Thank you, Cole.